Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome to Strikeout Bros, a weekly podcast on Major League Baseball. Hey, what's up, Lash? How's it going, man?
Babo, what's going on, man?
We had an interesting week in baseball, that's for sure. And we should get right into it. So, number one prospect, Jackson Holliday, son of seven-time All-Star Matt Holliday, was called up for the Baltimore Orioles. And I know how much you love that. The youth is coming up, and you're a huge Baltimore Orioles fan. And this guy is going to make a difference. In his last 10 minor league games, he batted .333, had 18 runs, 9 RBIs, and 2 home runs. And he'll be wearing the same number as his dad, number 7, Matt Holliday, who played from 2004 to 2018 for multiple teams, Colorado, Oakland, St. Louis, the Yankees, and retired with Colorado with over 1,100 runs, over 2,000 hits, over 1,200 RBIs, and a career average of .299. If he's anything like his dad, he's going to bring a show to their team, the Baltimore Orioles, and he's going to be around for a while. In his debut, he went 0-for-4 with an RBI groundout, but I think he needs time to adjust. What do you think, Lash?
Yeah, man, it's an exciting time in Baltimore. It's a long time waiting. He's the number one prospect. They drafted him in 2019. He made his way through the farm system at an accelerated rate, was doing really well. I thought he was going to break camp this spring training, but he didn't. But they said that he had to work on his hitting against left-handed pitchers, but either way, it doesn't matter now. He's here. He's going to be phenomenal. It's going to take a while. He's gone off to a slow start, but that's expected. He's 19 years old, but we shall see. So far, like you said, he has one hit and one RBI, but Baltimore's got to be patient, and so does he, and he just got to let the game come to him and not try too hard, and I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, I think the pressure gets to a lot of the young players. You know, they come up to the big show and they're not comfortable, and it takes some time to adjust to the league and the pitching. But I think he's going to be something, you know, worth watching, and he's going to make your team even better than it is already. I think you guys are really close to a championship in that hard-ass division. You know, you have the Yankees, you have Tampa Bay. You have a lot of good teams. Even Boston is playing well this year, you know? So you guys are going to be in a competitive division, and you guys are going to have to really show them who's boss. I think it's changing. Over the years, you know, you had Tampa running the show, and then the Yankees always spend the money, and they get these big, high-caliber players, and they dominate the division. But I think that things are changing in the right way, and seeing these young ball clubs come up, and they're starting to compete as well. You know, it's spreading out. for the most part. I feel like young teams like the Baltimore Orioles, once they get a hang of it, they're not going to let go, and they're going to be a force. And you guys also have two guys coming back to play in their old stadiums, right? You have D.L. Hall, a pitcher, who got traded with Joey Ortiz to get the Corbin Burns jersey in the building. So I am very excited about that. You guys were great, and now you're phenomenal because you have an ace in your rotation. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it was the number one for the Orioles. Is the number one thing they needed this offseason was a true ace, because they have a plethora of talent in the farm system. They were able to trade away what I call second tier prospects. D.L. Hall is a starter in Baltimore. He played starting. He was a starter and a relief pitcher. He seemed to do a little better in relief than he did as a starter. So I think that's why they're okay with parting ways with him. As far as Joey Ortiz goes, he's a great infielder, second baseman, but they have so much depth in the farm system with the infield that they were able to part ways. And like I said, the Orioles got their true ace. It all depends on how well he'll do. So far, he's doing great. His last game against Milwaukee in the series, he had a dominant performance. And so far, both teams are doing well. Milwaukee's doing really well for a team that was everyone believed that they were kind of going on a rebuild path. But so far, they're fighting like heck, and they just keep playing small ball and do what it's take to win. And so it's both. So far, both teams are doing well in the trade.
Yeah, actually, we have the numbers. So, D.L. Hall came in, and he pitched, and he didn't do so well. He pitched three innings. In the second game, he allowed 8 hits, 5 runs, a walk, and 4 Ks. His ERA ballooned up to like 7.11. So, he didn't have a great outing. And Joey Ortiz in the first two games was 3-for-7 with 2 RBIs. And Milwaukee was able to take the series from them, which is surprising, being that they lost their manager, they lost their GM, David Stearns, who's now with the Mets. But Corbin Burns made the difference because he was able to come in the third game and stop the bleeding, and they didn't get swept, that's for sure. And Corbin came in 5 innings, 6 hits, 3 runs, 2 walks, 1 home run, and 5 Ks. And they won 6-4. So it shows you that, you know, you can be having a bad time, but once you get back to the top of the rotation, a pitcher like Corbin Burns can really make a difference. And Milwaukee, you know, they have won 2 games prior to going into the series and were able to score 22 runs in the first 2 games in that Baltimore Orioles series. But, you know, I think that you guys are ready to win a championship. You guys are going in the right direction. It's very, very important that you have someone like that, especially in the postseason. Because in the postseason, when you have an ace like Corbin Burns, you know what he's capable of doing. He's able to hurt that defense and keep the numbers low.
Yeah, definitely. And another reason why, going back to Milwaukee, reason why everyone thought Milwaukee would be in a rebuild year is because they lost their manager, who ended up going to Chicago, Craig Counsell. And Craig Counsell was a runner-up for manager of the year. Unfortunately, he lost out to the Miami manager. But either way, they thought that would be a big loss, but they haven't skipped a beat yet. So they it's really exciting.
Yelich is having a great year, too. He showed that stuff to us in New York. When they came in there, as cold as it was, that lineup was able to produce. And they were super dominant over the Mets, who got swept in that series. But it's all right. It's all right. You know, slow start to the year. But the Mets, you know, going 0-5 and struggling, they went to Cincinnati and they were able to produce. And we're a really scrappy ball club. We were able to take the series from Cincinnati, and it came at the perfect time because I felt like it gave us momentum going into Atlanta. And you know, when you go into Atlanta, you're playing one of the best teams in baseball. They're so like amazing at what they do. They play small ball, you know, they're able to steal, they're able to, you know, be patient. They have an amazing cast of players, the rotation, everything about that stadium and the energy there is so great. You know, they always dominated the Mets and they always stay, you know, on top of the division. And I couldn't believe that in that first game, we were so electric. Brandon Nimmo had a breakout day. He was able to hit two home runs, had five RBIs and four hits and a walk. And that enabled the Mets to win 8-7. In the second game, we didn't play so well. We were unable to score early on, you know, and Atlanta pretty much dominated the whole game. But the Mets in the eighth and ninth were able to score five runs and keep the game close. And that showed fight. It showed that, you know, we didn't quit. And I love that about a team. All right, we lost by one run, but we never quit. And in the last game of the series, which was a three-game series due to weather, because it was supposed to be a four-game series, but due to weather, it became a three-game series, and we were able to destroy them. We had 16 hits and 16 runs, so pretty much everybody was on point and was able to contribute to this win. And I know that helped us grow, and the chemistry in the dugout was pretty electric. And we were able to chip away at these guys and show them that we're not, you know, sitting ducks here. And the Mets have been able to produce runs, you know, with two outs and able to, you know, push those runners in score position. You know, we have a serious team on our hands now. I have a really good feeling about this team. And I know you live in Atlanta and, you know, you're a Baltimore Orioles fan, but you have two great teams. You have one team you can go check out at the stadium whenever you want, and then you have the Baltimore Orioles who you keep in your back pocket. And I know you've been a Baltimore Orioles fan all your life, but Atlanta's a great team to be pretty close to because you got amazing baseball over there.
No, definitely. It's been their exciting team to watch. And the one play that stood out to mind in that last game for the Mets, we forgot to mention, honorable mention, would be Tyrone Taylor, I believe. He was a pinch hitter. He had one home run and four RBIs, and he kind of got the spark going for the Mets. And ever since, they just went on that rampage and were able to score 16 runs in that last game. And that's very unusual for Atlanta ball team to give up that many runs. And I think their starting pitching just got out of whack for Atlanta. And, you know, losing Strider is going to hurt them for the year. But so it'll be interesting. I have to replace him and see how they do. But I'm not worried for Atlanta. I think the Mets just got had at the right time. Sometimes you just got to get away from the confines of home. And, you know, it's the first five games of the season at home and you got a lot of pressure. You know, New York is very known for having a lot of pressure. The media is tough on them. The fans are very tough on them. They held – one thing I like about New York is the fans will hold you accountable if you struggle. They don't care if you're – on their team, they will boo the crap out of you and they will cheer for you when you're doing great. So for the Mets, just keep doing what they're doing, play small ball, you know, and so far your starting pitching has kind of held it together. I'm kind of impressed. Severino's doing well without having Kodai Senga in the lineup in the rotation this year. It was a concern whether how they're going to do, but hey, who knows, maybe if they can stay afloat at the trade deadline, maybe they can trade for a starter.
Yeah, that makes sense. I really like this team. Tyrone Taylor, you know where he came from, right? You know he played for Milwaukee for a while, too. So David Stearns is just picking up his little pieces and putting them together. And, you know, not to, you know, be, you know, Debbie Downer, but, you know, Tyrone Taylor hit that grand slam in that 16-run game against Luis Guillorme. I guess the bullpen was depleted. They knew they were going to lose the game. So they said, yeah, sure, let's just throw in our utility man into the game. Bad move, you know, because the novella's there. Because, you know, Luis was a Met all his life. And in the offseason, they decided to get rid of him. Atlanta picked him up, and that was a great move on their part because Luis Guillorme, in my eyes, is a true utility man. He can pretty much play all of the infield, and he's a scrappy player. You know, I never had a problem with that guy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Said, you know what, that's a great addition to our team. And, you know, he was really hurt by that move. But what can you do? Now he's on a better team. That's how I see it. I feel like he landed in a great spot where they're going to utilize him properly and he's going to be able to succeed. You know, it hurts when you look over and you see Luis Guillorme wearing an Atlanta Braves jersey, but it's going to be okay for everybody. I think it's going to be okay for everybody.
Yeah, definitely. I it's funny that Atlanta Braves have three former Mets on their team. I don't know what it is, but when they leave New York, they seem to flourish. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the pressure, but they have the Braves have Luis Guillorme, as I call him, Russell Crowe.
Yes.
They have Travis d'Arnaud. He's now the starting catcher because Murphy on the Braves is out for a while. And then they have Jared Kelenic. As you remember, Jared Kelenic was
– oh, man.
At one time, the Mets' number one prospect, but in order to get Edwin Diaz and Robinson Cano from the Seattle Mariners, the Mets gave up Jared Kelenic to Seattle. And then this offseason, the Atlanta Braves traded for Kelenic. And he's kind of had a slow start. He hasn't been impressive for the Braves, but defensively, he's doing all right in the outfield. But his bat hasn't come to life yet, but it'll be interesting to see how they do.
I know you as a
Mets fan, it hurts you when you see your former players doing great elsewhere,
especially great ones. But you know what, Travis, I was done with him. The last couple of games in New York, it was horrible. It was like, let's get this guy out of here. But then when you see him flourish in Atlanta last year, he was a problem. You know, I didn't even think this guy was going to be able to find a ball club to play for. That's how bad the end of his career with the Mets was. But like you said, players leave the Mets and become great. And I don't know if it's the pressure in New York. I don't know what it is, to be honest with you. But it happens all the time. It happens all the time. When you say, damn, if we had that in our lineup, we'd be okay. But these guys don't play to the same standards they do with other teams. It's crazy. It's like, were they unhappy? Or was it New York? Was it the fans? I really can't explain it. But it happens every single time. But what can you do? All right. And I believe Shane Bieber and Spencer Strider, right? The latest pitchers out, shelved by injuries this year, right? And Atlanta is going to really miss Strider because Strider is a force. I believe he was the number one strikeout leader last year and in wins as well. I think he won 20 games last year. So he's going to be sorely missed by the Atlanta Braves this year. And it's interesting. I want to see what they're going to do to, you know, compensate for that loss.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Strider was considered to be their ace for this year. Max Fried's kind of having a slow year so far. But, yeah, it'll be interesting. Whoever they replace is they're going to have a big shoes to fill. Strider is a very reliable pitcher, and when he comes into the game, you know if you're opposing team, it's going to be very hard to get runs on him. So it'll be interesting how they do, but I have faith in the Braves. I like the manager, general manager, Anthelopoulos. He knows how to get interesting small players that no one ever thought of, and they seem to do well for them. Guy that comes to mind in the past was Eddie Rosario. He was an outfielder from Minnesota. He came to Baltimore, and Jorge Soler. He's another player that is a no-name player that came in and helped them win that World Series in 21. So I'm very confident in the Braves. So I'm not too worried.
Yeah, they're a force. They're a force. If you want to win a World Series, you're going to have to go through Atlanta. That's how good they are, you know. I really like that team. They're in my division, and, you know, it's hard to say I really like this team, but I like the way they put stuff together, the way they put together this team. They know how to do everything right, you know. They know they the fans, the way these players develop there, they become stars, and they're doing everything right. So losing Strider is going to hurt them, but I'm pretty sure they'll be able to figure it out and, you know, get to the post, because they always get to the post. They're such a great team. I like the quality of players and management, and everything they're doing over there is just, they do it in an excellent way.
Yeah, no, definitely. Something I wanted to bring up to you. You have recently sent me an article about Pedro Martinez talking about why there's such an uptick in pitchers getting injured. And one of the things that comes to mind is a lot of these pitchers that come into the league now, even in high school and college, they're throwing gas like 100 miles per hour, 90 to 100 miles per hour, 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds throwing gas. And whereas back in the early 2000s, when, you know, when Pedro Martinez pitched, he was throwing gas too, but he was more about control. And so, and also the other thing is teams are now being more cautious with their pitchers. So they put them on restrictions on how many pitches they can throw per, you know, innings and for the season. So I think the also, the other thing is back in the early 2000s, pitchers weren't reporting injuries. They just kind of held their ground and just, you know, kind of fought through it. But now, you know, these teams have invested so much money into these starting pitchers that they want to do everything not to lose that pitcher. You know, it's a lot of money you invest into a pitcher. You know, look at the Mets with Jacob DeGrom. You know, they invest a lot of money, and near the back end of that contract, he just was hurt all the time, and eventually they just had to let him go, you know?
Yeah. I'm surprised Texas paid so much for him. It's pretty crazy. I mean, listen, when he left, it hurt a little. But I already knew that he wasn't putting in the hours anymore, you know? It's like, all right, you're going to throw four games, you're going to get hurt, you're going to be gone for a couple of months, you're going to come back, you're going to pitch two amazing games, you're going to get hurt again. Throwing too hard. Back in the day, it wasn't like that. You know, we had pitchers that knew how to locate, knew how to, you know, switch it up. It's not all about the gas. It's all about being tricky and knowing how to pitch. Now it's all about, I'm going to throw this fireball at you and you're going to miss. Yeah, but that doesn't work all the time, because if any of those batters connect, it's over the fence. They're helping them. You know, when exit velos are 110 miles per hour, you help that guy get that ball over the wall, you know, versus the sneaky curve or the, you know, the sneaky slider, you know. They're not really, like, thinking about how am I going to pitch to this guy. It's more about see if you can hit this fastball. And I don't agree with that. I think you're right. I don't think these guys are going to last long in the league, you know. Those records that these guys back in the day had, you know, like the innings, the strikeout ratios, all that stuff is going out the window now, because all these guys are doing is they're coming in for four innings. They're getting their 8Ks, and they're being shut down right away because management knows that if you keep this guy in for eight innings, no matter how dominating they are, your pitcher is going to get destroyed out there because his arm is going to turn into trash.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of sad that one pitcher came to mind. You don't have too many knuckleballers, and the one that guy comes to mind is Tim Wakefield. Sadly, he passed away this past year due to cancer, but he was nasty, man. He had that, the way he pitched, I think he kind of pitched sidearms, and that ball would dance, and today's pitchers, they don't do that. Their goal is to throw hard 100% of the time for five straight innings, and when you do that, that's a lot of stress on the elbow and the arm, and that's why you tend to have a high rate of Tommy John surgeries needed by these pitchers. But hey, that's just the way the game is now. We live in a world where we want strikeouts and home runs. And, yeah, the strikeout rates are higher. But at the same time, the home runs rate is higher, too. You know, you got Judge hitting 62 home runs a couple years ago. That's pretty impressive. You know, you got Alonso hitting in the 40s with his home runs. So a lot of it has to do with these pitchers, you know, throwing gas. And like you said, you throw it to the wrong place. You know, a power hitter like Alonso or Acuna or Judge or Otani, they're just going to smash and that's it. You're going to lose that that at bat to the hitter. But it's what it is, but it's working for the game of baseball, just like how back in the day, you know, having a pitcher didn't throw gas worked because they had control.
Yeah, to me, a lot of control.
Yeah, to me, having control was better because he lasts longer. A lot of older pitchers, when they know they don't have the speed in the arm, they tend to go lean towards on the side of always going with control. And control is great because only you know where that ball is going to go along with the catcher.
Reinventing yourself,
Yes, and that's very scary because if you're a hitter and you're Aaron Judge, you know he's going to throw the pitcher. You know that, you know, let's just say he's facing Strider. You know Strider's going to throw gas, but at the same time, if you don't know, if you know the guy is not a fastball pitcher, he doesn't throw fast, but he has control, you have no way of knowing where it's going to go. 1 minute could be on the top of the box. It could be at the bottom of the hitter's box. You never know, and you just got to keep your eyes out for any pitch and everything and hope you can connect.
Yeah, the game has changed. I mean, the game is really exciting now. I guess they're doing that for the youth. I'm pretty sure they're losing a lot of fans out there. But, you know, I'm an old school fan, you know. I grew up on baseball. So I've seen the game changed a lot. And, you know, it hurts sometimes because you don't get those amazing games where it's like nothing in the bottom of the ninth because you have these two starters that are really battling out there, you know. And they're not just throwing gas. They're really locating these pitches and making these batters think about what's going on up there. But it's not like that anymore. The game has changed, but I'm still a super fan. I love baseball. It's my favorite sport. And, you know, you don't see things like that anymore. And, you know, we're going to talk about this, you know, trivia question that I'm going to give you on a weekly basis. And I think this is a really good trivia question because players these days cannot accomplish goals like this anymore. These things do not happen because now with all the money to spending on players, you know, you treat them like these horses, you know, like, all right, I don't want my horse running every single day. These horses need rest. And the question of the day for you, my friend, is who holds the record for most consecutive games in Major League Baseball?
Well, there's only one person that comes to mind, and he happens to have played for my team, the Baltimore Orioles. And his name is Hall of Famer, shortstop for the Baltimore Orioles, Cal Ripken Jr. He had played in 2,632 games.
Wow.
The second best with consecutive games in the majors was the great New York Yankee outfielder Lou Gehrig. Sadly, he had passed from his disease, but he played in 2,131 consecutive games. And the thing is, in today's games, like you said, they treat these pitchers like they treat these players like China dolls. Everyone needs a rest day. I understand there's 162 games and rest is important. But my thing is if you got a hitter who's hot, don't rest him. Play. When he starts to get cooled down and he starts struggling, then you rest him. But if your hitter is hot, let him ride. Let the pitch, if the pitcher's hot, let him ride. A couple years ago, in the World Series, we saw what happens when baseball falls to analytics. The Tampa Bay Rays, he got their best pitcher,
Blake Snell.
He was Blake cruising Snell through the World Series game, and because he met their pitch requirement or number said that if he went fourth time around through the lineup, he was going to get whacked. And he was doing great, and they pulled him out, and it cost them. They lost the game, and they lost the World Series because of it. So
I remember that. Angry was Blake Snell? He wasn't even trying to hide it. He was on fire. And I can understand that. But, you know, Blake Snell has a history. And I'm going to say they were kind of right. But when, like you said, if you're flowing, let him flow. Let him tell you. All right? These guys are getting paid a lot of money, right? So you would assume that a guy, you know, with stamina and skills like Snell.
Brighten up your home with help from Menards. Illuminate your home with LED light bulbs from Fight Electric. They provide light that lasts with a rated life of over 10,000 hours. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Fight Electric LED light bulbs now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. We'll be able to tell his manager, you know what? I think that was it right there. Because you care, right? It's just not about building your stats, right? It's a team sport. So you got to be able to tell your manager, I think that was it for me. I don't think I have enough in the tank to go into the next inning. But a lot of these guys don't do that because they're filled with adrenaline and they feel like they can conquer the world. But they have to understand that it's a team sport and they have to understand that, all right, you know, I gave them four great innings and according to the stats and my history, if I continue to pitch in this game, I'm going to blow it for my team. You know, that's just the one thing that I liked about Scherzer when he played for the Mets. He was very vocal about what he had in the tank and what he didn't have in the tank. If he was unable to play that day, he would tell you, I don't feel well and I don't think you should go with me. I don't know any other player that was vocal like that in the past or in the present. He was very, you know, he understood his body and he understood what he was capable of doing at that time. That's the one thing that I did like about Scherzer, but you know, I don't think he was a good fit for the Mets. You know, came in, he got his money, amazing pitcher, but I don't think he was a good fit for the Mets. That's just my opinion, you know. But
yeah, nowadays you like a player like Scherzer, because back in the day, a lot of players didn't tell you like if they were hurt or something. They would just play through it. And the problem is the manager or the team wasn't able to save the player from himself. And so then they would kind of be like shocked when they found out the best starter is out because he got hurt or their best hitter. Nowadays, you know, players are more prone to express their concerns and let the manager know, hey, you know, I'm not feeling well, you know, my elbow's not feeling right or my hamstrings are tight, things like that. They're not afraid. And that's why they're more vocal now, which is good. It saves the team. It saves the player. Maybe it extends their career, you know, by having the ability to speak up when they're hurt. But it's what it is. But
I want to talk to you about the drama with your man, Cal Ripken Jr., before we move on to the next segment. Because it's pretty funny. There's an urban legend out there, right? When he was on his way to breaking Lou Gehrig's record, apparently he caught his wife in bed with Kevin Costner and ended up hurting his hand in the melee, right? So when he came back to play on August 14th, 1997, by the way, there was a mysterious power outage at Camden Yards, and it's hilarious because this outage was isolated only to the stadium, and they ended up calling the game, enabling him to heal and continue the streak, which is hilarious to me. And you know what, they spoke to Cal Ripken Jr. about this and he denies it. All right, but how does that information even get out there? You know, like, it's insane. You know, he beat Lou's record by over 501 games. So he was well and done with that. But how many seasons are we talking about continuously playing every single day? You know, as a third baseman, right? Or shortstop. What was he? Played third or short?
Shortstop.
Shortstop, right? Imagine. You know how many balls are going through there on a daily basis? This guy's a monster. He's a true, true player. You know, you don't see stuff like that anymore. It's pretty amazing. It's that record, I honestly believe it'll never, ever get broken.
No, in today's game, he wouldn't be able to get away with that, because with social media and everything, Twitter, things would get out so fast that you wouldn't be able to hide that. So it would have got blown up fast. But, yeah, either way, it doesn't matter how he got it. But hook or by crook, he got it. And it's pretty impressive, because he actually did play in every single game. There was never a day that he didn't play unless he was severely injured. But he was pretty healthy for the most part. And he was out there and he played. I think, like I said, you won't see that again in today's game with all these rest days that are already, literally, in my opinion, they're already scheduled in for the year. It's like they already know, like, how many rest days is Pete Alonso going to get for the Mets, you know, this year. It's crazy how they already have that planned out. But nowadays, yeah, there's more money involved. There's bigger money involved. Cal Ripken wasn't making, you know, $40 million a year when he was playing. That's why they allowed him to do that.
Yeah, it's a
if
shame.
He was making $40 million, guess what? You best bet your bottom dollar Baltimore would have rested him and gave him all those days off when he needed it. But in today's game, there's so much money involved that you can't do that anymore. So that's why rest days are in there.
Yeah, I see that. It's a different game altogether.
Yeah, definitely. But it's like I said, it's the game is evolving and growing. And, you know, the saying is you better get with the time or you get left behind. And, you know, as a fan, it's exciting. There's some things I like. I like the idea of knowing that every day when I go to the ballpark, I know that my favorite player is going to be out there. You know, Kobe Bryant said it once best. You know, these fans pay a lot of money to see me. And there's going to be that one day where that fan comes to see me and I'm not in the game because, well, I need a day off. Like, that's not fair to the fans, you know. Yeah. Baseball games, all sporting events are expensive nowadays. And, you know, some people, they come to see their Pete Alonso's, or, you know, if you're a New York Yankee fan, everyone loves Judge. You know, they come, or when Jeter was playing, everyone came to see Jeter. And that's the only reason why you would go to the games. You didn't care, you know, to see the other players. You know, you want to see the team win, but your main goal was to say, wow, I got to see Aaron Judge play. I got to see Pete Alonso play.
I totally understand that. Yeah, it's not fair to the fan. I totally dig it. I think you made a lot of sense right there. That was a bold statement. And it's true. It's true. But how about the slug of the week? Who do you give the trophy to this week?
Yeah, so this week's slug of the week would be from the Oakland Athletics, Shea Langelier. He had three home runs in the game against the Texas Rangers. And he drove in all the four runs that they scored. They ended up winning the game 4-3 against the Texas Rangers, you know, a team that the Texas Rangers that just won the World Series this past year. So it's good to see. You know, Oakland doesn't have like superstar hitters, but it's nice to see a guy like that, you know, do his thing for them.
Yeah, definitely. And come through like that. Yeah, baby, you know.
Yeah.
It's definitely water cooler talk, that's for sure, you know, because who is Shane Langelier? But look at this, you know, three home runs in a game. You know how hard it is to do that? I believe that Bryce Harper did that the previous week, right? He hit three dingers in one game, too.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
All right.
But who's your gunslinger of the week?
Oh, man, my gunslinger of the week, meaning the pitcher of the week for those that don't know, Tyler Glasnow. 14 Ks, 7 shutout innings, right? He broke a record because apparently since 1988, where things like that were being tracked, he was able to get those 14 Ks in under 90 pitches. He did it with 88. Right? So he's the only pitcher in MLB right now who was able to strike out 14 guys with under 90 pitches. And listen, it wasn't like the Dodgers were stacked already. They were able to get this guy too. All right? These guys are pulling everybody in. They're the new Yankees. You know, when you ask any player out there in the league, who is your dream team? Who do you want to play for? They're always going to say the Yankees. But now, look at what's happening in L.A. Everybody wants to wear a uniform. Everybody wants that LAD uniform because it's an all-star team. It's almost unfair, especially with this deferred contract business. It really bothers me because all right, if you don't have the money to get this player right here, right now, you shouldn't be allowed to even talk to him. You shouldn't even be looking that way because your team is stacked already. That means if you have money and you're spending all your money on these high caliber players and you ran out of it, you should not be allowed to go after a Tyler Glasnow because you have Otani, you have Yamamoto, you have Freeman, you have Mookie Betts. You're spending all these money on all these high caliber players and you're still able to pull a Tyler Glasnow? That's insane to me. I think that the deferred contracts are going to hurt the game.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like the Dodgers are kind of like the Yankees in the early 2000s. The Yankees were like the team where they had all the money. They were able to get the superstars like the Giambis of the world, the Roger Clemens of the world. They got Alex Rodriguez. They got all these big players. And I feel like if you didn't have the money, you weren't able to get these players. Had exactly. Matsui. And it worked for them because they were able to win World Series. But nowadays, there's so much parity in baseball that it doesn't guarantee you that you're going to win the World Series. You know, look at the Mets last year. They had all these Lindors, the Scherzers, the DeGroms, all these pitchers, Verlanders. And where do they end up going? They end up having to sell. So it doesn't guarantee you that you're going to win the World Series, but they are a heavy favorite to win the World Series.
Yeah, on paper.
If the Dodgers make it. On paper, yes.
On paper.
But anyway, let's go back to the Mets. This past offseason, right near the end of spring training, you guys acquired J.D. Martinez, correct?
Yes, but he still hasn't played for us because apparently he was a late signing due to Scott Boras. You know, Scott Boras is a guy that decides that, all right, I'm going to work for you. I'm going to try to get you the most money possible. Granted, J.D. played for the Dodgers last year. He was able to accumulate over 100 RBIs and get over 30 home runs. And, yeah, I think that he would be a great addition to any team. But I guess that Mr. Boras decided that he was worth a lot more, and that caused him to stay, you know, out of a job for this long because nobody was willing to pay for a 36-year-old, you know? But I think that he's going to be great protection for Alonso or vice versa, depending on how you put him in the lineup. And, yeah, he was able to sign a one-year, $12 million contract. And was it a desperate move on JD's part? Well, he's getting older and, you know, I'm assuming he wants to stay competitive and he wants to keep playing. And him staying out of an MLB lineup would hurt him, being that he has a couple of years left before he has to retire. So I'm glad we were able to pick him up, but he still hasn't been able to play because he's still training in Port St. Lucie due to the fact that he wasn't able to join the team during spring training. And apparently he has a lower back tightness and he got a shot the other day and he's trying to, you know, get through that. But when he joins the team, I think he's going to be a force and he's going to change the dynamic of the team. We're playing well now, and we're going to get better with a J.D. Martinez in our lineup. That's my opinion. I don't know what you think, but I think J.D. Martinez is a very good signing, especially for $12 million, you know, 1 year. I know the Mets are starting, they're trying to stay young, but I think that this guy's going to make a difference in the clubhouse. Having a veteran like J.D. Martinez in the clubhouse, someone that knows how to hit the ball, someone that's patient at the plate, is going to be able to teach the new guys a little something here and there, you know?
Yeah, I think I like the sign. J.D. Martinez is the number one reason why I love having a universal DH. I know you like the idea of having pitchers hit, but this is the reason why I love it, because you got a guy who still has power in his bat, but he can't play the field. So this is a perfect sign because the Mets needed a power hitter to go along with Alonso. Yes. And J.D. Martinez checks that box. You don't have to put him on the outfield every day. And this is why I love having a DH. You can get it's like a great asset to have. So $12 million, yeah, is a lot for a guy who's 36. But guess what? The Mets are not planning to go to the World Series this year. Their goal is to just, you know, try to have a good season.
And develop their young guns.
Yeah, developed their prospects and developed Alvarez and all these the Beatties of the world, and go from there. So I think it's a good signing. I don't know when he's going to be coming up, but you would know more than I would. Do you know when he's coming up?
Nope, it's up for grabs. It's up for grabs. Nobody knows the answer to that question. But you know what? When he's ready, he'll let them know. He's a veteran. He knows his body. He knows when he'll be capable of joining the MLB club, you know? I'm going to give him, you know, I'm not going to rush anything with this guy. Because when he shows up, he's going to change the dynamic of this team.
And yeah, Mets, no, definitely. He definitely will.
The Mets are looking good. And they can only get better with JD Martinez showing up, you know?
Yeah, like you said, it's if he bats ahead of Alonso, it'll be great because then it allows Alonso to pick up the pitches on the pitcher and allows him to get an idea of what the pitcher's going to be throwing at him. And that pitcher's going to have to be careful now because he's got to throw careful to Martinez and to Alonso. So it's more challenging for the pitcher, the opposing pitcher.
Definitely.
But anyway, with that being said, speaking of Alonso, I have a question for you.
Talk to me.
When the trade deadline comes in July, and let's just say the Mets are not in contention for it, or they're like the Baltimore Orioles where they know they're not going to make the playoffs, would you trade Pete Alonso knowing that you can re-sign him in the offseason? Is this his walk year?
Wow, that's a super interesting question, Lash. I think that if the Mets aren't in contention, right, we already know that he's going to walk and he's going to see what's out there because he's a Scott Boras client. It's rare when a client, you know, under Scott Boras decides to stick around with his team and take whatever money's being offered. Alonso's a super high caliber player, being that since 2019, when he first showed up into the league, he's hit more home runs than anybody else in the league. So that alone, you know, he's hitting over 40 home runs every year. And any team that wants to make the post is going to want to talk to Alonso. Any team that has the money, I think Alonso is going to probably grab like a little north of $300 million for, I'm going to say, the next 6-7 years. It's not even going to be a 10-year contract. I think he's going to demand that type of money because Boras will. And it's scary because you say to yourself, all right, we didn't contend this year. We can't make it to the postseason. It's a walk year for him. He already hit 40-something home runs for us at the trade deadline. You get some prospects in return, and you tell Alonso, you know what, after this year's over, we're going to really go after you. It's scary because he might like that postseason. He might like the energy in that clubhouse, that winning ball club. He's never really seen it. He saw it in 2015, but He did not see it in 2015. He wasn't around for that. So he's not going to come back home after he gets a taste of the postseason, knowing that that team, with his help, will go right back the next year. And he's a young guy, right? He's going to be 30 next year. So he has a good 6-7 years of life in the league. I would probably go for the prospects and make my team even better. I would.
Yeah, I think it's a smart idea. I know a couple of years ago, Yankees did that. They traded away the Chapmans of the world and some other players, and they were able to get prospects in return, like Gleyber Torres. I think he was in one of those trades that they traded their star players. And then in the offseason, they re-signed Chapman, so it worked out well.
It worked out for them.
But speaking
Alonso,
of... Well, the only reason why I fight back with you about him getting that big money is because a lot of the past offseason, two offseasons ago, Freddie Freeman and Matt Olson were, their first baseman, and they were free agents, and they didn't get a big contract. Well, one was traded, but they didn't get that big money that they were looking for. So I don't know if he's going to break the bank he might break the bank for a first baseman, but I don't know if he's going to get north of $40 million per year.
I mean, I think, all right, I don't think that Alonso is like the greatest first baseman, right? But he hits the ball. All right. I think he's getting better. You know, like I said, it's a walk year, so now he's a completely different player. You know, he's waiting on pitches. He has a better eye. He's, you know, not as streaky as he used to be, you know? He's connecting. He's getting those doubles. He's hitting the ball hard. He's just not going for the fences right now. He's trying to stack his numbers. But, you know, he's getting his home runs. And I think at the end of the year, if he's anything anywhere north of 50, he's going to get that $300 million. He probably won't get it from the Mets, but there's a lot of teams out there that are thirsty for a nasty DH who's still young, you know? He doesn't have to play first base, you know? Like you said, now everything changed. You don't have the field to contribute to the club. So, I don't know. But I, you know what? We're rebuilding, and I like the moves. When we get the Acunas coming up and we get Mauricio back, we're going to have a really young ball club. You know, Marte's leaving after this year. I doubt if they'll sign him. J.D. Martinez is going to come. He's going to produce, and he's going to be right out the door as well, you know. So I think we're going to have a really young ball club. We're going to need a couple of veterans to, you know, keep these guys in line. But I don't think Alonso deserves $300 million for the next 6-7 years. Because if you give this guy 10 years, you know you're not going to get your money's worth. So it's going to be a high paying contract, but it's going to be for a shorter amount of time, you know. League is getting young. The league is getting young. And
yeah, definitely. So one thing we've been doing on this show, as you know, is we've been doing the home run watch between the two free agent upcoming hitters for the New York teams, both the Yankees and the New York Mets. The New York Yankees is Juan Soto. And for the Mets, it's Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso currently, I believe, has 6 home runs, and Soto has 3 home runs. So it's a fun race to watch. They're both two power hitters, and they're both going to be free agents. And I personally think I could see Soto, if the Mets do not re-sign Soto, if the Mets do not re-sign Alonso, they will definitely go after Soto. They're going to want Soto. He's great. I love Pete too. He's homegrown. But
yeah,
if I'm Cohen and they say you can have Pete Alonso or Soto, guess what? I'm taking Soto. But with the Mets and the Cohen, he's got the money. He could probably keep both players. So yeah, it'll be interesting what they do.
I mean, listen, if you're Stephen Cohen and you're able to get both of those players wearing that amazing orange and blue, because that's how I'm going to put it. If you get both of those guys in your lineup, right? Oh, my God. It's over. It's over. You know, and the crazy thing is that, all right, yeah, we're going to lose Starling Marte after the year's over. I highly doubt that the Mets are going to go after him again. Yeah, I'm pretty sure there'll be somebody out there that's going to say, you know what, that's a great player. He's playing exactly how he should be on a walk year. He's showing everybody what he can do. He's stealing. He's hitting. He was the only consistent player hitting from day one this year. All right? Because the Mets were streaky, 0-5. But guess what? Marte was hitting that whole time. He was showing everybody what he's capable of doing. He's getting older, though. So if you can swap Marte out for Soto and keep Alonso at first, oh, man. Oh, man. I can't even imagine that happening. I can't even see it. I can't even see it. And I think Soto's in love with the Yankees. Like I said, if you ask every player in the major leagues who their dream team is, it's the Yankees, bro. It's the Yankees.
Yeah, well, like you said, Soto can love the Yankees. But it's up to the Yankees are a lot more fiscal with their money than, you know, in the years past. George Steinbrenner was the type of owner that he got what he wanted. He didn't care if he had to go over the luxury threshold, where his son, Hank Steinbrenner, is more reserved and more, you know, thinks kind of runs the team as a business compared to just as a fan.
I agree. But you need that fan. You need that fan. You know why? Because George and Steven are very similar in their approach. You know, because not only do they run the team, they love the team. It's a very different, like you said, the son treats it more like a business, but these two other guys, they loved owning the team. And that's just why I love Mr. Cohen, because Mr. Cohen is a fan at the end of the day. You know, so he's like, I want to see this team grow. I want to build this team. I want the fans to be happy. I want to take this team to the next level. And an owner like that, who's also a true fan, is the perfect fit. It's the perfect fit for us. But you're 100% right. Now, with this deferred business going on right now, they can easily give Soto whatever he wants and not have to worry about luxury taxes or anything like that. And this is why I say the game is hurting right now. Because think about it. 10 years ago, the Yankees would have said, yeah, we got him. Hopefully we win this championship this year because we cannot afford this guy. But now it's a different story. Now it's like, hey, we'll give you $500 million for the next 10 years. But guess what? You'll be 80 when you receive the first check. And what's Soto going to say? Let's do it. I love it here. I love the energy here. And I want to win championships. So I don't see that guy leaving the Yankees. And I don't see that guy taking anything less than 500 either.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting. Either way, I do think that he'll end up on some New York team. Like I said, I don't see him want to go somewhere else. But it'll be interesting, but I'm not worried. If I'm them, knowing now the Mets, with the Cohen Mets being owned by the Cohen nowadays, you don't have to worry about money. Where when they were owned by the Wilpons, you just knew that the Wilpons are not going to take that big leap. And so you just knew you were going to lose out on him.
Yeah, that's what we lost Saguila. It's a perfect example right there. They didn't have the money. They knew they couldn't afford him. And then what happens? He becomes an ace with the who? The Philadelphia Phillies. Oh, disgusting. You know, I still love him. But, you know, that team, I didn't want to see him on that one. That hurt. And they appreciate him over there. The fan base, the ownership, they appreciate. They extended him, right? They made sure that he wasn't going anywhere because they know he's a workhorse. He is exactly what you're looking for in an ace. He's perfect for that. He fits in perfectly, though. Now he's a villain, but I'll always love him. Look what they were able to do 2 years in a row. And it's because Zach was there. Think about it. A wild card team that has to play extra games to get to the big show, to get to the World Series, they were able to pull that off 2 years in a row. They don't have to win 100 games because that type of team, once they get to the postseason, they're electric. They have monsters in the lineup. Bryce Harper, Schwarber, Castellanos, and of course the other guy that got away from us because we couldn't figure it out was Realmuto. I would love to see Realmuto in a Mets uniform, but now we have Alvarez, and you know what? I'm glad it worked out that way because I like the fire in this young guy's eyes. He is an excellent catcher. He's there to hit. He's a very interesting player. I can see him wearing that uniform for the next 10 years. We don't have to worry about that position for a while. But we're coming to the end of the show. And if you have any questions or you have any comments, I would love for you guys to hit us up on strikebros@gmail.com. And we'll see you on the next one.